Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week we are looking at the Roman Catholic theology on the subject of justification. In our study today, we'll look at the role of the sacraments in justification. Actually, this will just be an introduction to what we'll look at next week, because in our next week's programs, we'll take each one of these and dissect them. If you're going to understand Roman Catholic theology, you must understand their perspective on the sacraments. They believe that there are seven in number, which is baptism, communion, confirmation, penance, last rites, matrimony, and ordination. And these are means of grace, or ways in which God imparts his grace. If you remember from our study yesterday, grace is more of a substance or a power enabling you to do good work. So as you receive these sacraments, the grace of God is imparted into your life so that you are enabled to do the work of God, to do good works, and to avoid evil. And so these sacraments infuse the grace of God into your life so you could do good works to merit your salvation or maintain your salvation before God. Paul Schrotenbauer, on page 67 in his work entitled Roman Catholicism, describes the importance of sacraments in Roman Catholic theology. He says, for the Church of Rome, Catholicism and sacramentalism go hand in hand. Both in its theology and in its practice, it gives weight to the seven rites it calls sacraments. And so these are the means of grace. They are what they would call efficacious signs, or that they cause the thing they signify to happen. They actually change a person inwardly, as opposed to being a memorial of something that has taken place, such as in communion. The seven sacraments were not initiated until the 12th century, so it's not something that you can go back into church history and find these seven sacraments as given in the life of the church. And in Roman Catholic theology, what they do is they dispense God's grace, his spiritual power, or spiritual substance. And there's two parts that I want you to understand in relationship to the sacraments in Roman Catholic theology. First of all, they're means of grace. That means God dispenses his grace into your life, enabling you to do God's work. And what a Roman Catholic needs to do is receive a sufficient amount of grace before they die in order to be able to go into heaven or spend less time in purgatory. So the bottom line is, as you do or receive these sacraments, you're receiving grace, and that grace is growing and maintaining your relationship before the Lord. Second of all, what I want you to see is that the church is the one that has the authority to dispense the sacraments. And so the bottom line is, what the Roman Catholic Church has done in their theology is they set themselves up, the Roman Catholic Church, as a dispenser, the only dispenser of the grace of God, which means that the church is truly the mediator between God and man. Grace is not dispensed through Christ, but through the church and through the seven sacraments. And in our last study this week, we'll look at the role of the Roman Catholic Church in relationship to justification. Let me quote from a couple Roman Catholic sources. This is from Broderick's Catholic Encyclopedia on page 46. He writes that sacraments are, internal grace is that power received in the interior of the soul, enabling us to act supernaturally. Then also on page 253, it's written, the supernatural gift of God infused into the very essence of the soul as a habit is habitual grace. This grace is also called sanctifying or justifying grace because it is included in both. And so these sacraments infuse the grace of God, enabling you to do God's work. And from the Council of Trent, from the 7th session, Canon 1, it reads, if anyone says that the sacraments were not all instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ, or that there are more or less than seven, or that one of these seven is not truly and intrinsically a sacrament, let him be anathema. Then even more clear, from the 7th session, Canon 4 from Trent, it writes, if anyone says that the sacraments are not necessary for salvation, and that without them men obtain from God through faith alone the grace of justification, let him be anathema. So here, the grace of God is only given to the individual through the sacraments, which in turn, the Roman Catholic Church is the only one who has the authority to distribute the sacraments. So it's no longer the grace given by God through Jesus Christ, but now it's grace that's distributed through the Roman Catholic Church. And this is a clear violation of what 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And so our mediator is not the church, it's not the priest, but it's Jesus Christ himself, and we could go directly to God and receive the grace that we need. It's very clear that this is what Hebrews chapter 4 says of the Lord himself. In verse 16, it reads, Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We don't receive the grace through the sacraments, we receive it directly from God. So in Roman Catholic theology, what they've done is they set up the sacraments as the means of grace, and they set up that the only way the sacraments could be distributed is through the church. So in reality, what you have is that the church is the mediator of the grace of God. And that is a direct contradiction of what is revealed within the scriptures. I want to read to you from Dr. Ludwig Ott, his Fundamentals of Catholic Dogma, which is a standard Catholic work, as he writes about the sacraments. The sacraments are the means appointed by God for attainment of eternal salvation. Three of them in the ordinary way of salvation, so necessary that without their use, salvation cannot be attained. That is baptism, penance, holy orders. This means that salvation is dependent not upon God and God's grace, but membership in the Roman Catholic Church, works, and the sacraments. This is why they would say that there's no salvation outside the Roman Catholic Church, since we are cut off from this access to this type of saving grace through the sacraments. And it's interesting, one man has described the sacraments that they are applied to man from the womb to the tomb, and actually it's even beyond the tomb. It's starting with baptism and then continuing on during purgatory, being purged from your sin. Let me read from you a series of scriptures from the book of Hebrews, starting at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 27, which says, speaking of Christ, who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people, for this he did once for all when he offered up himself. So our salvation was completely paid for at the cross of Jesus Christ. Also, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 says, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. It was a once for all work, and he obtained for us eternal redemption. Also, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down at the right hand of God. See, the high priest, while he was in the temple work, he never sat down. When he sat down, only when that day's work was completed. And that's what Jesus did when he went into the holies of holies, into the very presence of God. He sat down because his work was completed. Let me read a couple other references from chapter 10, actually verses 14, 15, and 17. This is beautiful. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. So there's a perfection, a completeness that comes in salvation through the one offering of Jesus Christ, not through us receiving the continual need of the sacraments. Verse 15 through 17 then goes on to say, and the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I'll put my laws into their heart, and in their mind I will write them. Then he said, their sins and their lawless deeds I'll remember no more. What a beautiful thing that the Lord casts our sin as far as the east is from the west. And one of my favorite passages on this subject is Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, which reads, therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he ever lives to make intercession for them. And this word uttermost means completely or forever. So the work that the Lord accomplished at the cross is complete, and we don't add anything to it because that would be works. Then it would no longer be by grace. Two other passages in the book of Colossians, which a believer definitely needs to know and understand the principles. Colossians 2 verses 9 and 10 says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. You are complete in him. You are mature. You are saved. There's justification is complete. It's not halfway done. When Jesus said it is finished on the cross, he completed the work that God sent him to do to bring in salvation for mankind. Not part of salvation, that now we cooperate with God's grace in order to complete it or perfect it. Salvation was perfected in Christ in what he accomplished at the cross. And this is why Colossians 2:13 is extremely important, which says, and you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, not some, not a partial forgiveness, but all. That is why we're able to have salvation complete, because the full price was paid at the cross by Jesus Christ. In Roman Catholic theology, the price has not been paid. It's been partially paid. And now what the church does is through the sacraments, people receive the grace of God, and eventually they receive enough grace to be right before God. And at the point of death, if they have not received enough grace or did enough good works, they go into purgatory. That's where more of their sin is purged or cleansed, to the point where they arrive at a place where they're perfect so they could enter into God's presence. The scriptures clearly teach that Christ paid the full price for our sin. And not only did he take on our sin, but then also he has given us his righteousness so that we stand in a right relationship with God on faith by grace and not by our works. I would like to end this program today by letting you know that my motive for teaching these things is so you would fully understand what Roman Catholic theology teaches, not by hearsay, but from their own documents and from their own sources, as well as giving you a heart to want to minister to those who are trapped in this false system and this false doctrine. If you're part of the Roman Catholic Church, I'm teaching these things because I want you to know the truth of what your church teaches. And what I'd like to make available for you is all these studies that we're going to do for this entire month on the Roman Catholic Church. I want to make those tapes available to you for free. So if you just call us at the number that'll be mentioned at the end of the program here, we will send those out to you free of charge. And our purpose is so that you would study and then go to the scriptures that we looked at and to see if what is being taught by the Roman Catholic Church matches up with what's been revealed in the Word of God. So we can help you in any way. That is our supreme desire.